The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The main individual that was the one who led the Yetzias Mitzrayim was Moshe Rabbeinu. He did it together with Aaron and with Miriam. But Moshe was the key. And he led Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. He performed all of the great wonders and miracles before Pare. He brought Yisrael to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And he led them for 40 years in the desert. If we look at the last psukim, the last few sentences of the Torah, it states, "Umeisha ben Meir ve'esrim shana b'meisay." Moshe was 120 years old when he died. Lechoasa einoi ve'leinos lechay. When he died, his eyes were not dim, and leinos lecho. The Targum says, "Leishana ziv yikore dapay." The radiance of his face had not departed. This was not only when he was 120 and he was dying, but the Rashi tells us, af mishemesh, even after he died. Incidentally, the Vilna Gaon writes that he lived 120 years because this is 2%, 1/50th of 6,000 years. And 6,000 years were the years destined for the world. And just as there's a mitzvah in Hafroshes Truma that we have to give 1/50th, 2% of our grains to the Kahanim, that becomes Kodosh. That's the part which is sanctified from all of the grains. So were the years of the world also sanctified. And this was also through the same portion, the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah carries on and states, Velekom novi od bi Yisrael kemoshe. And never has a prophet arisen that will be of the equal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ashe yedo Hashem ponim el ponim, who knew Hashem face to face. Rashi tells us, Shehoye libay gasbay. He had a familiarity with the Almighty, like one has with his friend. Umedabre elov b'chol eis shereitzah. And he would speak to him whenever he wanted. Kinyin shenemar v'ato ale al Hashem, indu v'eshmo ma'yitzav Hashem lochem. When he had difficult decisions to make, or difficult questions, for example, when the Bnei Slofcha, the daughters of Slofcha, came with their query and demand that they also wanted to inherit land, and Moshe and his Sanhedrin didn't have the answer, he said, Indo Veshmo, let me go to the Ohel Moed, to the Mishkan, and I will ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the other great prophets, even including the Ovis, the patriarchs, they had Nevuah, prophecy, only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them. And even then, it was not what was known as Aspaklaria de Meira, with a clarity a crystallized clarity. And even then, it was what the Almighty said to them. Moshe was ponim el ponim, would carry on a conversation with the Almighty like one friend to the other. Lekom novi od bi Yisrael kemeisha shiyado Hashem ponim el ponim. And this never was and never will be. Incidentally, from here we learn that if any prophet stands up and he says that he has a prophecy from the Almighty and it's contrary to Torah Moshe, and he tries to be aker, to uproot any of the mitzvahs of the Sefer Torah, which is referred to as Nevuas Mesha, Tedus Mesha, the prophecy of Mesha, then he is a Novi Sheker. He is a false prophet, and we put him to death, because the Torah states that never will there be a prophet as great as Moshe. L'chol ha'esis v'ha'mefsim asher shleicha shelochei Hashem la'asis beretz Mitzrayim lefarei u'lechol avodo v'lechol artsoi. And there was no prophet or individual that ever executed such signs and such wonders which Hashem sent him to do in Egypt before Paroi and before his servants and in his land. And the strong hand, Rashi says, Shekibol es haTorah beluches biyodav, that he brought down in his hands the tablets. Ulachalameira hagodl, and the great fearful miracles, Rashi says this refers to the 40 years in the desert, the fearful desert. Asher osa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael, everything that he did in the presence of Yisrael, Rashi says, which includes the breaking of the first tablets, that he said, Ashabrem le'enecha. So, we see the greatness of this person who went to speak to Paroi. He humbled Paroi, the Egyptian empire, took us out of Egypt, split the sea, led us in the desert, brought down the Torah, and was our leader for the remaining 40 years in the desert. Not only was he a great individual, but he was unequaled in these areas. Let us this evening study a little about his life, and we can learn a little more about him, and perhaps we can learn a few things for ourselves. The Torah tells us in Parshas Shemos, Parshas Shemos Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. A man went out of the house of Levi, and he took a daughter from Levi. Chazal batare isha vatelet bein. And the woman conceived, and she gave birth to a son. These were the parents of Moshe, and these were Amram and Yocheved. Medrash tells us, Lehechan holach, Bayelach, he went. Where did he go? The Medrash in the Gemara states that he went, Omar Abzvino, Shoholach Ba'atzis Bitoy. He walked through the council, in the council of his daughter. His daughter Miriam. She had a prophecy, even though she was very young at that time. And she prophesied that Imi Teleid Ben HaMashiach Yisrael, that my mother is going to give birth to a son that will be the Mashiach Yisrael. He will be the Redeemer for us with all of our tzaras here in Egypt. And therefore he told his father and mother, her father and mother, that they must come back together. They had separated themselves because the Torah tells us immediately before that, "Vayitzav Parei lechol amei lemor kol abein hayelod hayoret hashlichuhu v'chol abas techayun." Parei had commanded his nation, saying that every son that is born, you should throw him into the river. Incidentally, the Chazal tell us that this was a gzeira, a decree not only on the Hebrews, but it states lechol amei, to his own nation. And the Medrash tells us that the Medrash states on that Omer Yesi Bebchanino Af al Ame Gozar. This is a Medrash in Medrash Rabba Perek Aleph Oschav Beis. Veloma also came. Sheatta Ninim, his astrologers, told him that Gael Yisrael Nisabru Mimenu Imai, that they foresaw that a redeemer of Israel will be born, and they didn't know, they couldn't tell if he was a Hebrew or an Egyptian. And therefore they advised Parai that all of the males you must throw into the water. Because of these decrees, so Amram had separated from Yocheved. Miriam came to them, and she said, "Gzeiraschem kosher mishel Parai. Your decree is more severe than Parai, because he only decreed against the male children, while you, by separating from each other, you are not only killing the male children, but you are also killing the female children." And she told them of her prophecy, and because of that, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, that Amram decided to go back to Bas Levi, the daughter of Levi, of Yocheved. The Torah tells us that both the mother and the father were from the house of Levi. And this has a special significance, because Levi all of the time was the Kodesh Shebishvotim. They were always distinguished in their Kedusha, in their sanctity. And they were the most contrary to Egypt. Egypt were called the Amadei Melech Hamor. They were a nation who were similar to donkeys, and to susim, and to horses, the prophet calls them. Because they were very earthly people, and they were shokua, they were in the depths of all of the profane abominations. And Levi was just the opposite. He was the Kodesh Shebishvotim. He was the distinguished through his sanctity, through his Havdolah, through his distinction and separation from earthly abominations. And this is why we find also that the Shevet Levi, this tribe, it happened through a series of events which goes back to Yosef, but were never enslaved. We see that Parai didn't put Moshe and Aaron in jail, or tell them to go back to their work, they were able to come and go freely because the tribe of Levi was never enslaved. And therefore, it was significant that both Moshe Rabbeinu's father and mother were from Levi, because Moshe was the one who was going to be the greatest manifestation of this Havdolah, of this distinction and elevation, min hachemer, from earthly profanity and earthly abominations. And he was the one who was going to rule completely over Egypt and eventually destroy them. Then the Torah tells us, Vataro isha vatelet bein, she conceived and she gave birth to a son, Vatera esay ki tov, and they saw that he was good. And this, the Medrash tells us, Vatera esay ki tovu, they saw that he was good. Toni Remeir, Tev Shemai, what does it mean, tov? His name was good. Rabbi Yeshi Amar, Tuvia Shema. His name was Tuvia. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Hogun Lenevius. What does it mean he was good? He was someone who was predisposed and destined to Nevius, to prophecy. Acherim Aimrim, others say, She Neleid Kishu Mo'ol, that he was born already circumcised. Rabbonan Amri, the Rabbonan say, Bishosh Nolad Moshe, Nismale Kolabais Kula Ora. When he was born, the whole house was filled with light. So we have five descriptions here of what does it mean that when he was born, they saw that he was good. Batere say ki tofu. The Maral explains in his Gvuras Hashem, in the Perek Tezayin, Perek Yudzayin, that each description is coming to say a greater level in Moshe. The first description, Tov Shemo, his name was Tov. Hashem Meir Al Ha'etzem. A name tells us something, it tells us the essence of the person. This was to tell us that he was the ultimate of goodness, already at birth. He was special. His soul was special. That's the first level. Then the second opinion comes along and says, Rabbi Yeshia, Tuvia Shema. Not his name was Tov, but his name was Tuvia. What's the difference between Tov and Tuvia? The name Tuvia, you add the yud and the hay. It means Tov, and he has Hashem's name also attached. This is a higher level. Not only was he the essence of goodness, but it was a goodness already that had a chibur, that had an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and he says, Hogun, Hogun Lenevius. He was predisposed to prophecy. This is more. Not only did he have an attachment to the Almighty, but the Shekhinah was with him at such a level where it would speak to him. This was his predisposition. A fourth level, that he was born already circumcised. Everyone from the Tachtonim, from this world, no matter how great he might become, but he had an attachment with evil in this world and with the shortcomings of this world. And this is manifests itself in the Orla, in the fact that he is uncircumcised. And the Torah commanded us to circumcise a son. After the Bris Milah, it states, Veheye Tomim, Hashem told Avraham, now you're complete. So this symbolizes that eventually he should try to detach himself from Ra, from evil that's in this world. from the fact that Moshe was born Mohu. So this shows us that besides all of the other milas that he had, the attributes, but he was Nivdal, he already had an elevation from the shortcomings of this world. And then finally the Rabbonim say, Nismale kol habayis or, that the entire household was filled with light. How do we know that? So the Medrash says, because it says Kitov. And by the creation of light, it also states Vayara Shemes Or Kitov. What do the Rabbonin mean with this? This tells us even further. We mentioned many times that the greatest levels that man can attain are described as light, just like in the physical world. The greatest physical level that one can come to is the light. The light comes from the sun, and there's nothing beyond the sun in our world. So is it with the spiritual levels. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as Kula Eira. He's light. States the light came from him. And therefore, if from Moshe when he was born, the whole house became lit up, so this was a sign of the enormous level that he had reached already, the natural level, and how close he was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how did this show itself? We see, as mentioned before, that the Chazal tell us, Kol anevim leinisnabnu elabas paklaria delemeiro. All of the prophets, their prophecies were like someone who was looking through a glass which was not clear. It was in a dream or a vision, and so forth. Moshe was a spaklaria delemeiro. It was like looking through a glass which was perfectly clear. And this was a level which he attained even higher than the Oves HaKadoshim, than our patriarchs. In Parshas Vaera, Hashem told to Moshe, right at the beginning of Vaera, Vaera el Avraham, el Yitzchok ve'el Yaakov, ve'el Shaddai, u'shmi Adonai le'nadati lohem. I appeared before Avraham, before Yitzchok, before Yaakov, but I appeared in one name. He mentions here the name of Hashem. Now this is not though a name which describes the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as his essence can be described, but it was one of the attributes of Hashem. Ushmi Hashem, but the Shem Havayo leinidati lohem. But I never appeared to them through the Shem Havayo, the Shem of the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, which reveals the essence of Hashem. But to you, Moshe, Hashem is writing, is speaking, I have appeared even in that name. And this is what we're referring to, that Moshe was going to come to that level. So therefore, Nismale kol habayis ora. The entire house was lit up. Then the Torah tells us further, they hid him for 3 months, and they couldn't hide him anymore. And his mother took, and she made a basket for him, and she put him in the basket, and they put him al sfasa yor, on the shores, in the reeds of the Nile. Vateisatzav achese meirochek ledeor ma yeoselei. And his sister went, and she stood from far away to know what is going to become of him. Now the first reason why she did this was to shmir lishmoresei, to guard him. She wanted to make sure that hopefully nothing wrong would happen to him, and if there would be anything that she could do to assist. Incidentally, this is the second time now we find that Moshe was saved because she had a hand in guiding his destiny. This is the second time that he was saved by a sister, because the whole birth the first time came about because of this. Actually, she was risking her life doing this, because there was this decree that all of the Hebrew children had to be put to death. And here was a Hebrew that was not put to death. And if she was caught near the scene of the crime, they could involve her. So she was risking her life. And she was rewarded for this. At the end of Parshas Baleisecho, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita that at the very end of Parshas Baleisecho, when Miriam was stricken with leprosy and she was sent out of the camp for 7 days, it states Bohom Leinosa Ad He Osef Miriam. The nation was not allowed to move forward on their travels, even though she could have followed the nation, but from outside of the camp, until she had returned to the camp after the 7 days. This was the reward Rashi brings from Seita Daf Tes Zeh HaKoved Cholak Lo HaMokom. This was the reward which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave honor to Miriam. It was a camp of 600,000, and it was Moshe and the Shivim Zakenim, the 70 elders, and all of the other tzaddikim, righteous of the camp, and all of the people. And actually, it was a total campsite of millions of people, if we count everyone. And they all waited 7 days for her. As it states, and this was all for the little time that she waited for Moshe Rabbeinu. We might ask, but she only waited for him, so why did 600,000 people wait for her? Incidentally, the Gemara brings, the Mishnah brings in Seita that this is the Mida Keneged Mida, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives everyone his rightful due, exactly in accordance with what they have done. So why 600,000? Because Moshe was so great, as we will see later. He was Shokul Keneged Kula. He was not considered an individual, but he was equal to all 600,000. And not merely was equal to 600,000, he was equal to all of Israel, because this represented all of Israel. And therefore, since she did this for Moshe, so all of Israel had to do it for her. But then the Gemara writes an additional reason as to why she went there to know what is going to happen. Gemara tells us in Seita Daf Yud Beis on the Beis. States as follows: Yud Beis Amud Beis, Seif Amud Beis. Malamet Shoyisam is Nabo Kishi Aches Aren VeEmeres Hasidi Imi Shitelet Ben Shemeshias Yisrael. She had this prophecy that my mother is going to give birth to a son who's going to be the Mashiach. He will save all of Israel. Given Shneilad Moshe Nismale Kol Abayis Kula Or. When Moshe was born, and the whole house lit up with light, Omar Avir Venosh Kalresho, her father, Amram, was Dele Ador, he was from the leaders of the generation, he understood. So he went and he kissed her, and he said, Biti Niskayom Anivu Asayich, your prophecy has been fulfilled. But Kivan Shi Tiluha Le Yor, but once they had to throw him into the river, Omar Aviya V'Tov Chal Reisho. Then her father came and he said, Biti Heichen Nevu Asayich, my daughter, where is your prophecy now? Therefore, she had another reason to go to the river. She wanted to see what will become of her prophecy. The Torah continues and states, "Vateded bas Parai lirchets al yor, banariseo holchas ayad yor." The daughter of Parai went to bathe in the river. And there they saw Moshe. The Medrash tells us in Eschov Zayin, Lirchaitz miglulei beis aviho. This that she was going to the river was not merely coincidental. But that day she was going to the river for a specific purpose. Her father was a great idolater, the Egyptians. They were sorcerers, idolaters. The fact is, Parai himself held himself as a mighty god. On that day, she decided she had enough of all of the idolatry. And she's going to rebel. And she refused to worship any further idolatry. That was the day before. And that morning, she was going into the river to bathe. She wanted to be tevelos. She wanted to go into a river like a mikveh to be matire herself, to purify herself from her past. The Maral brings what is the significance of this? Because megalgalin zchus al yedei zakai. She's given a great opportunity here to save Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives great opportunities only to those people who deserve great opportunities. So the question arises is, why should Moshe have been saved by a daughter of Parai, who was the great tyrant and the great idolater? Another thing the Medrash tells us, that the Medrash says that Nareseho Michobo, her maidservants, when she saw the basket, and she opened the basket and she saw it, there was a child, and she said, Miyaldi Ibrim there. He is from the Hebrews. They recognized him. So the Medrash states that her maidservant said, Omru lo givilteinu. They said, our mistress, minogi shalayla mela gezek zere v'chol ha'elam einun mekayim aneso, ubonav nebos besem mekayim aneso. It's the way of the world that when a king makes a decree, most people try not to fulfill it. But these children and his own family certainly fulfills it. But you transgressed the decrees of your father. Your father said that the children of the Hebrews should be killed, and here you want to save them. And she refused to listen to them. Had she listened to them, then she would have lost that opportunity. And we don't know what would have happened to Moshe, but she refused. So, she was taking her own life into her hands by defying her father, the king. But the Torah is telling us this is because an opportunity like this to save Moshe Rabbeinu is not given to everyone, and certainly not given to a member of Parai's family. And secondly, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't use someone to save someone else who is diametrically opposed to that other person. So therefore the Medrash explains to us a little background on Bas Parai. So she was a very, very great person, enormously great person in her own right. To be the daughter of the king and still defy him in his great preoccupation here. And she said, "Miyaldei ho ivrim ze." This is from the Hebrew children. The Medrash darshens ze. Ze nefel lior v'le acher nefel lior. This one will fall into the river, but from now on others will not fall into the river. The Medrash says, why? What's the story? The astrologers of Parai told him, as we mentioned, that a son is being born and he's going to destroy you and he's going to take out all of the Hebrews from Egypt, but we do not know if he's from the Hebrews or if he's from the Egyptians. Kivan she pilu maishali or, once they put Mesh in the river, then was botel hagzeira, because kfar mushlak meshin b'mayim, they had foreseen that the answer to this Mashiach will be water. This is what they had foreseen, and that's why they advised Paroi, Layoi tashli yachshivku, have them throw their children into the water. That'll be the solution. They didn't realize that what they had seen was that the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu will be water. That was a different water, Mei Meriva. That was the water by the rock that he was supposed to speak to, and he struck the rock. And this was his downfall. This is why he didn't lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. But in the meantime, once they saw that he's in the water, they told Pare there's nothing further to worry about, because we see now that this leader has been thrown into the water. So Pare therefore annulled the decree, and that's why it states this one went in and after that no one else. The Torah tells us further that they tried to feed Moshe. They brought all kind of midwives, but he wouldn't take milk from anyone. And finally, the Medrash says, because the mouth that was going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu would not take milk from an idolater. And finally, Miriam came and said, "I will bring you a midwife from the Hebrews." And she brought her mother. And she was given Moshe. By Yigdal HaYeled, and then the son grew up, Vativieu Lavas Paro, and they brought him back to Paroi. Vayilolavein, and to the daughter of Paroi, and to her he was like a son. Vatikrushmai Moshe, and she called him Moshe, Vatemer Kiminamai Mishisihu, because she said, "I have drawn him out of the water." And the word Moshe means to be drawn out. The Medrash tells us on this. What does it mean that she took him like a son? Mas pare min ashekes umechavekes umechaveves esoi ki ilu hu beno. Now naturally, Pare knew nothing of this. As far as Pare knew, he wasn't the Hebrew. She took him as a son, and she would kiss him and hug him and endear him as if he was her own son. And he grew up in the palace of the king, and she wouldn't let him out. She treated him as the king, as the prince. And because he was so beautiful, Hakol Misfaz Misavim Lereisai. Everyone wanted to gaze at him. Whoever cast his their eyes upon him couldn't take their eyes off of him. And even Pare would be Menashkei Mechapkei. Pare also would kiss him and he would hug him. Vunaitel Kisrei Shel Pare. And he would take off the crown of Pare, Umeisim Al Reishai, and he would put it on his own head. Kimeshosi Lases, which he was destined to do when he would grow up. V'chein bas pare megadeles misha osid lifra me'aviho. Not only would he be a child in Pare's lap and take the crown off his head, but he, who was going to be the downfall of Pare, was brought up in the palace of Pare by Pare's own daughter. What does this teach us? So the Medrash says, this teaches us, She'af melech ha-moshiach she'osi lifra me'edoim yeshi v'imoyim be'bedino she'nema shom yire egel v'shom yirbats. That the melech ha-moshiach also, who in the end will come and destroy Edom, that's the great seed of Esav, the great Roman Empire. Where is he? He's Yeshi Vimohem. He dwells amongst them. Just as Moshe, who was our first Mashiach, destined to destroy the empire of Egypt, where did he dwell? Amongst them, and right in the palace, right by Pare. The Gemara brings in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzarech Omer Aleph, Shishol Rabbi Shua ben Levi Eliyahu. Rabbi Shua ben Levi one day met Eliyahu. So he asked Eliyahu a question. Eichen Yosef, we're waiting so long for the Melech HaMashiach. Where does he live? Must be somewhere. Does he live on top of the Himalayas? Does he live in the Arctic Circle? Does he live in the depths of Central Africa? Where does he live? Where is he hiding? Omalei, so Eliyahu answered him, Shehu Yeshev al Pesach HaMedina Shoremi. Now, he sits right by the gates of the Roman Empire. He grows up in that empire that he is going to destroy. Like Moshe didn't come from far away, but he grew up in the heart, the very heart of Egypt. The palace, the castle of the king. The Maral explains, it's like you take a fruit, and a fruit has a shell, very tough shell, hard shell. And as the fruit grows, eventually it casts its shell off of it. The growth itself destroys the shell. This is what was with Moshe, and this is will be with the Melech HaMashiach. Incidentally, the Medrash brings a story. The Chatume Mitzrayim is Chachomim. His wise men became very worried. And they said, Misyorin onu mizeh, shenaitel kisrocho, meneisna al reishoi. You know, they were very superstitious. And they said that we don't like this, that he's taking off your crown and he's putting it on his head. We don't want him to be the one that they say will come one day to take the crown from you. And therefore some said to kill him and some said to burn him. Yisro, who was eventually to become his father-in-law, Mesha's father-in-law, was one of the advisors to Pare. And he said, Anara Zain Vedas, he's a child. What do you want from him? He doesn't know what he's doing. Test him. And from here comes the famous story that they brought before him a plate of gold and a plate of coal, of burning coals. This was Yisro's idea. He says, if he goes for the gold, you see that he has some seichel. If he goes for the coals, he has no seichel. And he put his hand towards the gold, but Bo Gavriel, the Malach, the angel came, Vedeches Yodim Vetofeses Agacheles, and pushed his hand aside and put it into the coal. And when he put it into the coal, he burnt his hand and he put his hand with some coal in his mouth. And according to this opinion in the Medrash, this is how he became Kvad Peh Vekvad Loshon, where he had difficulty speaking. It says, Vatikra Shmei Moshe. She called him Esha. The Medrash asks a question. His name was not Moshe. His name was Tov. Or his name was Tuvia, like we said before. So she called him Moshe. But that was not his original name. Yet we find that in the entire Torah, he is known as Moshe. Be'af HaKodesh Baruch Hu Kora Esei Moshe. And even Hashem, when Hashem wanted him, he said, Moshe, Moshe. So the Medrash asks, why was he called in the entire Torah by HaKodesh Baruch Hu by the name that the daughter of Parai gave him? She was not his real mother or father, and she wasn't even from the Hebrews. And we disregard his real name. Mikana Talomat Shore Shogem Lechasodim. From here we see the great reward that HaKodesh Baruch Hu gives the Gem Lechasodim, those who do chesed, who do kindness to others. Even though he had many names, the name that stuck with him was the name that the daughter of Parai gave him, and even by HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Maral brings, because the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of its ways are ways of peace. And this is why it's called the Teres Chesed. It's a Torah of Chesed. And therefore, someone that does Chesed, does kindliness, in any circumstances, must be repaid for it. And this was the Godel Sochar, the great reward that the daughter of Parai received for taking care of Moshe and bringing him up as her own son, that the name she gave him was the name which was to remain with him. It was this reason. Incidentally, the daughter of Parai eventually went out with the Hebrews at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the Exodus, and she joined the Hebrew nation. She was Megayer, and her name later on is brought in the Nach as Bitcho, which means daughter of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you gave my son a name, I will give you a name. And later on she was to become married to Kalev ben Yefuneh. Incidentally, this is why the question is asked, the Itzdagnine Parai. The astrologers of Parai, they said, we have a vision, but we cannot define exactly that if the Messiah, the Redeemer, who is being born now, will be from the Hebrews or from the Egyptians. So the Chazal asked, what kind of Shaitim were they? I mean, why should you think they should be from the Egyptians? Here comes a Redeemer who comes to redeem Israel and destroy Egypt. And they come and say, we cannot define if he's from the Egyptians or the Hebrews. What was causing the problem? So the Maral says, and also this was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Yemeya, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The reason is because he was destined to become also the son of Bas Parai. And he was brought up as a son in the palace. And therefore they were having difficulty discerning if this person is an Egyptian or a Hebrew. The Torah carries on and it states, Vayhi bayomim ahem, vayigdal meshe veyetze el echo vayar besibloso. As time went on, he grew up, Moshe. Now here they ask a question, because before it says also he grew up. It says, Vayigdal ha-yelet, he grew up, Vatibayel al-Vas Parah, and they brought him to the daughter of Parah. So second time it says he grew up. And he went out to see his brethren, Vayar b'siblosom, and he saw their burdens. Vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'achov. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew from his brethren. Medrash tells us it's a Medrash in Yalkut Shemoni. The first time he grew up, that was physically. The second time, it states Vayigdal, he grew up, that's Ligdula, greatness. Umahu Hagdula, and what was his greatness? Sheyotza al Echov. As the Torah says, he went out to his brethren, Vayar b'siblosom, and he saw their troubles and their burdens. Maral explains. What's the difference between a person who's great and a person who's not great? Now, we could give many answers on this, especially here in the Western society. A person who's great, that's a person who makes a lot of money, or is a good cricketer, a good sportsman, that's a great person. A person who's not great is a person who doesn't make a lot of money and is not a good sportsman. No, that's not greatness. The difference between a person who is great is, look at the contrast. One who is not great is a person who's small. The small person, his life is wrapped up in himself. The great person, his life is wrapped up in others. And in accordance to how far he extends his life to be concerned about others, that's his greatness. Again, Rabbi Yemeir tells the Rosh Yeshiva used to say that everyone has an ego, an ani, I. That's decreed in human nature. So everyone has an ego, and everyone has this selfishness where I come first before anyone else. And you cannot destroy that. The fact is, if you destroy that, you're destroying human nature. Once a person stops to worry first about himself, about I, then you get problems of extreme depression and suicide or lack of ambition or so forth and so on. But he says there's a difference though in the ani. He says some people, the ani encompasses themselves alone. A little bigger person, the ani encompasses he and his wife. A bigger person, it's when he speaks of me, he means his whole household, his children. Other people, he means his children and his grandchildren. He says there are great people that when they refer to themselves, they're referring to their whole communities. It's my community. I have to be concerned with my community. It's my people. And there are some great people where their ego, their ani, encompassed all of Israel. Or even HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. And this is what the Yalkut is saying. What is the second time Moshe grew up? when he went out to see the burdens of the people. He didn't have to. Nobody knew he was a Hebrew. And he was a prince and the adopted son of the mightiest king in the world. And he was living amongst the greatest luxuries. So he had no business going out to see the people. But he had to, because he was concerned and worried about them. So the Yalkut says, Hasheni l'gdulo, humahu agdulo. What is the second time he grew up to greatness. What is greatness? The opposite of smallness. You can be the greatest cricketer in the world, but you might still be a very, very small person. Mahu agdulo sheyotzo el echov. That he could not contain himself, own life is himself, just for himself. But he was concerned about his people. And the Medrash tells us Shohireya Bisimlaisa Mubecha. He saw their great burdens and he wept. And he said, Chavali Aleichem. He says, Oi, Anem, Miyite Musi Aleichem, Shein Lachom Alocha Koshim Evlechas Atit. If I could give my life to help them. And he himself would go and he would put his shoulder to the burden when he would see another Hebrew buckling under a burden, he himself would go and help carry the burden. Ramasi godl al cotton, umasi cotton al godl, masu ishal isha, masu ishal isha, masu zokin al bocher, masu bocher al zokin. He would see that they had big burdens on young people and young and little burdens on older people and so forth. And he would, meiniach dargen, he would set down his scepter and he would make off like he's helping Parai, he's supervising, but he would go and help all of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ato hinachto asokecho v'halachto lirais bitzaren shel Yisrael. You have left all of your asik. You were busy in the palace with all types of royal duties, and you have left all of that to go see the tzoras of Yisrael, v'nohaktu ben minag achim, and you have acted to them like a brother. Ani meniach es elyonim v'satachtonim. So I also will leave all of my royal duties to come and speak to you. It's interesting that the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe, this was by the burning bush. This was an apostle Dalet. It states, Vayar Hashem kisor lirois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe was coming. He was turning from the road to see the bush burning. And there he called him Meisha Meisha. The Medrash Darshan is differently. Vayar Hashem kisor lirois. Hashem saw that he turned from the palace to see the tzoras of the people. And therefore, he called to him, Moshe, Moshe. The Maral explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also encompasses the whole world. And if he's going to speak with someone, it has to be someone also who is an ish kloli, an all-encompassing individual. So therefore, when he saw this, he said, Afani meiniach es elyonim v'tachtonim. I will leave my duties in the upper worlds and in the lower worlds to come to speak to you. That day, Moshe went and he saw this Egyptian smiting the Hebrew, and there's a whole story behind it as to what took place. And he decided, actually it was an act of promiscuity, that this Egyptian fell in love with this Hebrew's wife, and he chased the Hebrew out one morning from the house before light, and then he went into the house and she didn't know, and then the Hebrew found out about it, and because of that the Egyptian was beating him. So the Midrash tells us that Moshe said, firstly, he's beating another Hebrew, and secondly, he went and he committed this act of adultery. He says, a person like this for sure is deserving of the death penalty. And he went and he killed him. Vayetzeh b'yom hasheni, the second day he went out, and there were two men fighting. And again he intervened and said, Rosh lo masaker eicho. These were two Jews. And he said, why are you striking your fellow man? The Midrash says that we see two vayetzes, one after the other. He went out and he went out. Shtei pomim. What is the Midrash bringing out? The Maral says, because to show the fearlessness of Moshe. After the first day, he shouldn't have gone out again, because he had to be very careful. Once he killed the Egyptian, his life was in danger. Like ultimately, Pare found out about it and wanted to kill him. So the second day, he should have not gone out. Not only that, if he did go out, he certainly shouldn't have got himself involved in quarrels again. Yet when he saw one Hebrew hitting another, he intervened and he said, Rosho, evil person, lo masaker eicho, why are you hitting your fellow man? So this is to show the fearlessness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Secondly, this is to show that Moshe was a man of justice. When he saw an injustice, first of all, it bothered him. Many people see injustices and it does not even bother them. But even people that injustices do bother, they do little about it. Moshe was a man of justice and he was a man of action. And first he went out to try to help his brethren because these were injustices. Then when he saw the Egyptian, what he was doing to the Jew, he killed him. And then when he saw what one Jew was doing to the other Jew, again he intervened. And it states that he had judged them. He didn't just respond. As other people that just make noise and just respond. No, it states Yoshev Adin. He judged them. And Moshe was to become known as the individual of Din u'Mishpat, the person of justice and law. And this is why he is called in the Torah Ish Elokim, the man of Elokim. Elokim, that's a shame, that's a name of Hashem that is used for justice and law. Like the Gemara says in many places, Elokim Zu Bezdin, that represents the court. And we see this further also, that when he came, after he had to flee, when they found out what he did, it states he came to the well, and when the shepherds chased away the daughters of Yisro, Vayokom Moshe Vayoshion, Moshe again stood up and he saved the day, he intervened and he protected the daughters from the shepherds, even though this had nothing to do with him. And there also states Yoshvu Alein Bendin, he judged the situation and he took action. And this was Moshe all of the time. He was a man of action and he was a man of justice and he was a man of judgment and he was fearless. Midrash tells us further that after Moshe went to the house of Yisro, he had to flee Egypt. and he married the daughter of Yisro. It states in Perek Gimel Aleph, "Amesho ha'erei atzon Yisrei chesne kein mijun v'ayina ages atzon achar amidbor." Moshe became a shepherd for his father-in-law, and he took the sheep out into the desert to graze. Midrash tells us first, the Medrash states that we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he places a leader in Israel, he wants to make sure that he's a good leader. So he tests him with sheep. We find many of the leaders of Israel had prior occupations as shepherds. Now, this was not coincidental, but he tests them with sheep to see how well he'll take care of his sheep. If he cannot take care of his sheep well, then certainly he cannot take care of my people, Hashem says. If he can, then he's a candidate. So the Medrash says, "Ubamehu bechanei b'maretzon be'af." Moshe, Leibochano, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lebetzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Moshe with sheep. When Moshe was shepherding his sheep in the desert, a young goat ran away. And Moshe chased it. And finally the goat came to a little stream of water. And there it stopped to drink. And when Moshe caught up to it, he said, "Adila isi adea shirotzu yisa bimnitzome." I didn't know that you were running away because you were thirsty. You're probably very tired now. He had kival ksefe. He put the goat on his shoulders, and he walked back to the flock with him. Omar korish borchu yesh lecha racham im lina ktsayna yishul bosu vador. If you have such compassion to the sheep of a physical human being, Atot tiret seini Yisrael, then you are the one to take care of my sheep. Then the Medrash tells us something else we learn. It states Achar Amidbor. He took the sheep. This is why the Torah tells us that he was shepherding the flocks when Hashem came to speak to him from the burning bush, which was the first time that Hashem appeared to him, to show that he was tested first with the sheep. Then the Medrash tells us another reason. It states, Achar Amidbor. He took him out into the desert. Why into the desert? Mipnei HaGezel. You have to be very careful with sheep because they'll go and graze on other people's property. Most people don't bother with that. But Moshe was very medactic. Moshe was very careful with that. And that's why he would take his flocks into desert, into fields, wilderness, that no one owned. And he didn't have to worry that they would go and graze in someone else's fields. So the Medrash tells us, when Hashem wants to place the mantle of greatness and leadership upon an individual, he first tests him, not with something big, but with something small. Afterwards he raises him up to greatness. Many times you have this in everyday life, that a person is passed up when it comes to a promotion. And he comes to the bosses and complains, "Why did they pass me up on this promotion?" So they said, "Well, this other one is performing better." He says, "If you would give me such responsibility, I also would perform better." This is a common answer. You didn't give me the responsibility. You gave me little things to do. give me something important to do and I also will perform better. That's not a real answer. You see, people who perform great responsibilities well, they are the ones who perform small responsibilities well. And those who are not able to perform small responsibilities well, they won't be able to perform great responsibilities either. So the person is, it's self-deception. And that's why a boss with a keen insight, when he's looking for future leaders, he sees how well they do their small jobs. And if they do their small jobs with integrity and with dedication, oh, this is a candidate. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. When he tests a person for leadership, he doesn't give him a great responsibility to do. He gives him a little responsibility to do, and let's see how he does it. And therefore, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Naisin Gdula Lodem HaShem Batku B'Dover Kotten. And the Medrash brings them by Meishan, by David. He gave them the test with sheep, and to see how careful they would be from the sheep grazing in other people's lands. And by both of them it states that they took their sheep out into the countryside, into the wilderness. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ator Neman B'Tzein Bo Urei Tzeini. If you are dedicated to this responsibility, then you are ready for my responsibilities. This gives us a little background into Moshe's early days. We can't go through Moshe's whole life this evening, but let's just cite an example or two from his last days. In Parshas Vayeskanan, Dvorim Dalet, Posukot Beis, Moshe is telling the people, Kionechi Meis Bo'oritz Azeis. Now this is a long time later. And this is after near the end of the 40 years in the desert. Anechi Meis Bo'oritz Azeis Eineni Eiver Esei Adein. He told the people, I am going to die in this land, and I will not cross the Jordan. Rashi asks the question, If he's going to die in this land, this was speaking on the west side, this is speaking on the east bank of the Jordan. If I'm going to die in this land, he says, so it's obvious that you're not going to cross the Jordan. So what does it mean, I won't cross the Jordan? El afatz meisai einam evri. Not only, Moshe said, not only am I to die on the east side of the Jordan, and I'll never go into Eretz Yisrael, but I'll, even my bones after death will not go into Eretz Yisrael, contrary to Yaakov and contrary to Yosef, who said that when we die, take our bones into Eretz Yisrael. He says, it is my destiny not to go into Eretz Yisrael during my lifetime or even after my death, but I am to be buried on the east side of the Jordan. Right, during his lifetime, the Torah tells us why. Because of the chet of the Mei Meriva, because of the sin by the rock. But why couldn't he go in afterwards? Why did he have to be buried Chutz Loretz? The Medrash tells us this was not because of a chet, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you led the people out of Egypt during your lifetime. And now that generation died in the desert and they're buried in the desert. It's your job to stay with them. And when Tchias HaMeshim comes, when they will rise up again one day, you will be there to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. This is why Afatz Meisai, even my bones will not go across the Jordan. We see that Moshe's responsibility and his dedication as a leader was not limited, like by almost all leaders, to his lifetime. But his dedication and his responsibilities continued long after his death, where even he could not be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but he had to remain with the people that he took out of Egypt. And this we see in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, Bamidbar Chof Zayin, Tes Vov, when Moshe was coming to the end of his days, he came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Yifkeid Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Bosor Ish Al Eido. He demanded from Hashem, appoint a leader over the nation that will be my successor. And do not leave the people leaderless, like sheep without a shepherd. This is what he demanded from Hashem. And Rashi brings Lahidia Shivchon Shel Tzadikim. From here we see what a righteous leader is. Because generally, when a person has finished his time in this world, he's coming to the end of his days, he starts to take care of his own needs, he starts to worry about his own world to come, he starts to take care of his family's needs. Now, Shivchon Shel Tzadikim, our great leaders, when it came time for them to leave the world, they set aside their own needs, and they occupied themselves with the needs of their flock, the needs of their nation. And then at the end of the Sefer Torah we read, and the Psukim we were quoting before, it states in Pasuk Vav, be'eretz Moav mul beis Peor, that he was buried in Gai, in Moav, right opposite of beis Peor. Why was he buried opposite of beis Peor? Beis Peor was one of the most popular idolatries of that time. It was the mainstream idolatry. And right opposite of this idolatry, Moshe was buried. Why there? So the Gemara in Masechet Seita asked the question. At the end of the first parak, and the Gemara says, "Mibnei man nikvar beishe, Omer avchana berbchanino, Eitzel beis por, kedei lechaper al maisi por." Because this was the mainstream idolatry, and this had an enormous, terrible influence on the world, and it also had an enormous, terrible influence even on the Hebrews and the Jews. And Moshe was going to be the great kapora. He was going to be the great atonement for this hate. And therefore Hashem said, you will be buried right next to Beis Peor, in order that you can be machaper, you can atone for the sins of the nation. We see his life was over. He should be free from the responsibility. No. This is what is meant. The second Yetzir was Gdula. This was the greatness of Moshe. That not only was his whole life entwined with the needs of the nation during his lifetime, but even to dictate where in general he should be buried, not in Eretz Yisrael, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, and where in particular he should be buried, opposite Beis Pe'or, near Beis Pe'or, in order that it can be a kapora. And then one final point. The rest of the pasuk states, "V'le'yoda ish kfur es kfuros ha'arayim hazeh." We know about where he's buried, but generally, or almost all of the time, we know exactly where someone is buried. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be betzayin es hakever, to place an identification and demarcation marks on the grave to know who's buried there. By Meisha, we don't know where he's buried. We know the area, generally. But lo yoda ish kvurose ar hayom hazeh, no one knows his place of burial, and wherever it states in the Torah, ar hayom hazeh means forever. No one will ever know his place of burial. Why? In this Gemara in Seita, Daf Yud Dalet, the Bach, it's not in the Gemara, but the Bach brings a girsa, brings a text that we do not have in a Gemara, but according to him, it should have been in the Gemara, it fell out, which states as follows. The same Reb Chama Bar Chanina said, who asked, why was he buried next to Beis Pe'or? Why was his gravesite concealed and hidden from all human flesh? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew Shosid Beis HaMikdash Lechorev, there'll come a time when Israel will sin and the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, Uligole says Yisrael me'artzon, and they will be exiled from their land. Shema Yavo L'Kfurasei Shel Moshe, Hashem was afraid that the people then would run to the gravesite of Moshe had they known where it was. And they would weep by his gravesite. And they would appeal to Moshe. And they would say, Moshe, our teacher, Amod b'tfila ba'adenu, stand up and be mispalu, pray to Hashem for us. The Amen Moshe, and Moshe would pray, go to the Kisei HaKovod, he would go to the throne of the Almighty, and he would beseech cloud for Klal Yisrael. And he would be capable of severing the decree of Golus. And on what basis do we say this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds his righteous in greater endearment after their life, in their death, than in their life. And we see that Moshe was capable of doing this in his lifetime. Where? Because Shekinah Tameitzi B'Shosha Yisrael B'Midbor, when Klal Yisrael were in the desert, V'Sorchu B'Maseim V'Osu Egel, and they went astray and they made a golden calf. Kotzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yisrael V'Amal Moshe Herav Imeni V'Ashmidor. And Hashem said to Moshe, go away from me, and I want to destroy them. I've just given them the Torah, and now they've made a golden calf. I want to destroy them. Kama tzaddikim hoye ba'isidor. That generation had many, many righteous people. Kama chasidim. And it had many, many saintly people. Moshe, Aaron, Yeshua, Eldod, Umeidod, Ein Zekenim, it had the 70 elders, Vishar Chachomim, it had great Talmidei Chachomim, Talmidim, and so many disciples. And with all of their squeeze, and all of those that were there, nobody could sever that decree where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to destroy the nation. Yeshua couldn't, and Aaron couldn't, and Eldad, and Medad, and the 70 elders, and all of the Chachomim and the Talmidim. Ela bishvil Moshe, but Moshe severed it. Moshe demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to forgive the nation. And if we see that Moshe could have done this in his lifetime, and Chavivim Tzadikim B'Mishosom Yesem B'Chayehem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds greater endearment to his righteous after their lives than during their lives, so that he certainly could do it after his lifetime. So therefore, had his grave been known, when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, they would have gone to the grave of Moshe, and they would have beseeched Moshe to go to the throne of the Almighty and to demand that the decree of Golus should be severed. And he would have achieved it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that to happen. Therefore, lo yoda ish kvurosai ad hayom hazeh. Therefore, he concealed the specific place where Moshe is buried. So this shows you the greatness of Moshe, which not only extended during his lifetime, but even after his lifetime, and specifically as the leader of Klal Yisrael, and the dedication, the responsibility, and the strength. And that's what the Torah tells us at the end, that lekom, that never will there be a Novi Od B'Yisrael kemoshe, and who lechol ha'esis v'ameifsi ma'asher shlocha Hashem la'asis be'eretz Mitzrayim lepare lechol avodah v'lechol arzoi, who exercised all of these great signs and miracles and wonders in Egypt to Pare, and who brought the Torah to us. This is our leader Moshe, and this is the Torah which he gave to Klal Yisrael. Chag Kosher v'Sameach to everyone.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.